cuando soy fuerte como soy fuerte como el acero, pero su mirada.
I'm Tom Hoos from Earlton, New York, and I'm listening to WGXC Acra, New York.
Friday, February 4th. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Global Go-Go Show, with tracks today from Anur Kador Cherif, Devon Hanna, and DJ Rato Piano, among others. Then Jared Wugashud is live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street, with funk, R&B, rock, pop, and more on the Sugar Shack Jukebox until 2 p.m. today. At 4 p.m., we are live with improvisers from around the world, from Colorado, California, Buffalo, and more, with the Conduction Series monthly improvisation after the local news on the WGXC Afternoon Show. And at 6 p.m., we're live from Main Street in Catskill with Clubhouse Radio and the teens there with their songs and stories. At 7 p.m., the teens in Hudson that tell us what they've been reading on the Bound by Books show with the folks from the Hudson Area Library. And at 8 p.m., there's a new show in WGXC called Driftless Turmoil, tonight featuring tracks from All Pairs, The Magnetic Fields, Run the Jewels, and others, before Guy and Friends takes over at 10 p.m. with Guy Welchek on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Victorian-era Valentines of Schaefer, Minnesota. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Graham. On January 28th, Columbia County Department of Health officials reported two more deaths from COVID-19 and another two more on February 1st. Even though case counts are falling throughout the area, this is still a dangerous disease in our midst. Across the Hudson River, Greene County officials announced another COVID-19 death there over the weekend. It was the 108th death from coronavirus in Greene County. And Ulster County officials announced February 2nd the death of two more people from COVID-19 on February 1st. Dutchess County reported another COVID-19 related death, and Albany County officials reported three more deaths there on February 2nd. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. New York State Assembly Republicans released a letter to Governor Kathy Hochul February 2nd, urging the governor to end the statewide indoor mask mandate and to grant more authority over the pandemic to local governments. The letter states, and I quote, "We urge you to reverse course and return authority to our local governments as the New York State public health law was designed to do," end quote. However, Hochul said New York will continue to keep its mask rule in place for now after a spike in cases caused by the Omicron variant of COVID-19. The letter was delivered as the mask mandate is being challenged in state court. A Nassau County judge overturned the mandate, but the order was stayed while the appeal continues. Republicans have been critical of the indoor mask rule, especially for schools in New York. Republican candidate for governor, U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, this week appeared at a rally in Albany calling for the mask rule to be dropped in schools. GOP State Assembly member Christopher Teague tweeted, and I quote, "If she truly respected the role of the legislature, she wouldn't try to preserve this unlawful mandate," end quote. Hochul believes a mask rule must remain in place for now in order to prevent further spread of COVID-19, and recently extended the mandate until February 10th. Hochul has argued that masks need to remain on indoors in order to keep businesses and schools open and prevent hospitals from becoming overwhelmed with COVID-19 patients. Hochul's office on February 2nd reported 7,131 patients with COVID are hospitalized in New York. Of those, 46.1% are in the hospital for reasons other than COVID or COVID-related complications. When asked about the mask mandate, she said, and I quote, "We're in a much better place, but we have to decide what that looks like. We're not prepared to throw in the towel and say we're done fighting COVID," end quote. Read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com. The Daily Freeman is reporting Scenic Hudson has announced its acquisition of 6 acres of waterfront land in the village of Athens. The agency said in its press release that the property could provide the potential for new river-based recreation. In addition to 1,000 feet of river frontage, the site includes an 8,000-square-foot warehouse that could be repurposed, according to Scenic Hudson. Seth McGee, executive director of the Scenic Hudson Land Trust Incorporated and Land Programs, said in a statement, and I quote, "Scenic Hudson looks forward to collaborating with the Village of Athens, New York State, and local partners as we explore ways to restore the land's natural beauty and maximize the recreational and economic benefits it can provide," end quote. The land was an industrial site for decades, including operations to distribute fuel oils and road salt. Most recently, it was proposed as the location for a construction and demolition debris transfer facility. Athens Mayor Amy Sirago said in a statement, and I quote, "The potential of turning this industrial site into a place for residents and visitors to connect with the Hudson River and the maritime history of our village is truly exciting. And I'm grateful to Scenic Hudson for making this feasible by acquiring the land," end quote. The land is located adjacent to the Athens State Boat Launch on Murderers Creek, a tributary of the Hudson River. The launch has been targeted for improvements as part of the state's Hudson Eagles Recreation Area. The release said the site also plays a role in sustaining wildlife and offering climate solutions. The price paid for the land was not immediately available. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Natasha Von Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Columbia County Department of Health announced January 28th, during the course of a three-month investigation, 4 tobacco retailers in the county had been found to be selling tobacco products to underage people in violation of the state's law. The 4 locations exposed during the investigation include Sharon's Market in Chatham, Love's Travel Stop in Canaan, Extra Mart in Livingston, and Elizabeth Diner and Deli in Elizabeth. 2 of the violations occurred in September, the other 2 in November. Department of Health Director Jack Mapp said, and I quote, "We were a little surprised we were getting people. I think a lot of it had to do with places got a little lax in that we weren't going out at one point because of COVID, and then we started again. So it's a little surprising, but it does happen," end quote. Under state law, cigarettes, cigars, and other tobacco products cannot be sold to anyone under the age of 21. New York raised the legal age to purchase tobacco product from 18 to 21 years old in 2019. Public health departments are required to check compliance by tobacco retailers. Mapp said adolescents are enlisted to act as customers asking to buy cigarettes, and they are trained by the Department of Health. The fine for the first offense of selling to a minor is $350, a second offense is $500, and the fine for a third violation is $1,000. Mapp said if a business makes 2 sales to underage people within 3 months, they lose their license to sell lottery tickets for 6 months. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, February 3rd. We see 35 degrees early this morning in Kingston and 39 degrees in Stockport. And beyond that, I'm not really sure what to tell you about the next 48 hours. Even the bigwigs are shrugging their shoulders on this one. Today will be pretty much 42 degrees and rainy all day long. We're pretty confident about that. After dark, temperatures start to fall. Once midnight hits, the dice roll. Temperatures fall below freezing around midnight. After 1 a.m., the warm falling rain will be hitting sub-freezing surfaces, causing an ice buildup. Don't be driving. Around 7 a.m., we hit our temperature low of 23 degrees. Then, precipitation changes to sleet, which will then transition to snow, let's say around noon. Why not? And around 2 to 3 inches is expected to fall in our listening area. The thermometer should hold steady at 24 degrees all day. After dark, snow tapers off, then it gets cold. 9 degrees overnight takes us into a dry Saturday with a high of 25 degrees. Another cold night, 0 degrees, then a dry Sunday with a high of 30. Sunset today will be at 4:57 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:02 a.m. Looking way up, we have a 25% chance of M-class solar flares today. Radio and GPS disruption could occur. Solar wind speed is currently 504 kilometers per second at 9.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently bad. The radio interference has just been terrible this week. Overnight, things return mostly to fair conditions. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 75. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
I went off. Tom, I went off. Hello, good. Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Okay, thanks, Tom. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads and Rhythm. I am Alan Skerritt, coming to you from home today on this, in the third day of February in 2022. It is approximately 12:13 in the afternoon. Crossroads and Rhythm is my program that I've been doing for approximately 10 years now. And in so doing, I attempt to cover all venues of music, be they jazz or rock and roll or country or whatever the case might be. And today, because there's a mixture of events that we're celebrating, so I'm having to mix up songs because one event, which is Valentine's Day, which is going to be 2 days before my next program. So, and then the other one is, this is Black History Month. So I thought last week, I did a lot of Black History kinds of things to honor the celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday. So I did that on both of my shows, if I remember, last week. So I'm going to try to do this for this week and next week, to play music that has to do with the universality of love, love amongst all peoples, the whole concept of loving your neighbor and your brother, etc., those kinds of songs. And then I'll play some jazz ballads by some of the outstanding jazz artists, particularly of my time, So why don't I start out by saying that I'm dedicating this program today to my cousin, Faith Mitchell in Virginia, and to my friends who stand by me, they being Joe Kaiser, Michael O'Leary, and Dave Bullevice. And also Jeff Robus, if you're listening, I'll throw you in there too. So to my best friends, let's play some music to do with the universality of love and how we can survive what we are experiencing in this day and age of our times. So I'm going to start out by this song I love by Prince. And he didn't write it, I don't believe, but I forget the group that wrote it, but doesn't matter, it's a cool song. So let's play it. Stand up and be strong. Maybe so. Hey.
this time, we take great pleasure in presenting to you the United States of America, a gentleman that came and won the 7th Annual Tokyo Music Festival Grand Prize Award with the song Bell. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a round of applause for Mr. Al Green.